company with us today, so let me, more welcome, but let me say welcome again. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. Always good to get together. Appreciate your attendance. Dennis said, he reminded me, I always like to have an uptempo song to preach. That way, he said, if you're asleep when I finish, it's my fault. You were awake when I started. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along. We're talking from the text read to us this morning. Titled it, The Wisdom of the Wise Men, or The Wise Men's Wisdom. By way of introduction, we always wonder how many wise men there were. We always see in the picture of three wise men. That's probably because of the three gifts that were given. But as you know, there could have been two wise men giving three gifts, or there could have been two or more giving three gifts. We just don't know. Just interesting how people are so involved in finding out the number of the wise men, and they miss the meaning of the story. Then I think, too, in what way were they wise? As far as the text is concerned, we have to take the scripture meaning for it. But from the story of the wise men, we see their wisdom displayed. And that's what the lesson is this morning. How the wise men were wise. Number one in your notes is simply, they were interested in Jesus. Verse 2 of Matthew chapter of the text, chapter 2. They were interested in Jesus. And I put in your notes, that's a good starting place. They'd heard about Jesus, and they were interested. I think the more you hear about Jesus, the more interested you should be. You know, the Bible says when Jesus was introduced before his birth, in Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, she, meaning Mary, is going to bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, that's interesting. No one else has ever been born to accomplish that purpose. Oh, interesting. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's told that he, or meaning Jesus, did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. No one's ever lived like that. That's interesting. But see, the more you learn about Jesus, the more it is. And then Peter also says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree or on the cross, by whose stripes we're healed. Nobody else's death can accomplish that. Isn't that interesting? His birth, his life, and his death. So the wise men were wise. I see that they were interested in Jesus. We would be wise, of course, that's the lesson, to do the same. To do the same. Number two, they were ready to search for Jesus. It's in verse 2. They came to the place where Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And they came and they said, where is the King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east. And we've come to worship him. That's the purpose of the search. So if I'm interested in Jesus, I want to find him for a purpose, to give him worship or praise. I'm interested. Where is he? I want to find him. You know, Herod was searching too in the text. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 4, and also verse 16, it says it twice. That he was seeking the Christ child for the wrong reason. Herod. News of Jesus troubled Herod, but it thrilled the wise men. Herod's interest was one of worry. There's another king. Another king is going to be born. But the wise men's interest was to worship. Herod was zealous or jealous to find him, but the wise men were zealous in their search. Oh, they were really wise men. Not because they've already been identified as wise, but I can see it. They demonstrated wisdom. Number one, they were interested in Jesus and they searched. Number three, they didn't let someone else do their searching. Now in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 2, Herod sent the wise men on their way with a request. He said in verse 8, when you found, when you in your search have found him, you come tell me. Come tell me. That I may worship him. Oh, Herod, you lied. You don't want to worship the newborn king. The closing verses of our text says you want to kill the babies. Oh. But he said, when you search him out, you come tell me. And then, well, why? They didn't let someone else do their searching. I don't want to be that foolish either. I want to be that wise. I want to search for Jesus myself. The message would be, at this point, in your search for truth, and in your search for Jesus, don't blindly accept what someone else has told you. Not even me. You search. Personal obligation. I'm interested in Jesus. I want to search for him, and I want to search myself. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, to prove all things, hold fast to that which is true. I want to prove my faith by the word of God. I don't want to prove my faith because of what he or she said. I want to search. And that's what Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul has said were so. Wait a minute, that's the Apostle Paul. You're going to check him out? You're going to search the scriptures to see if the apostle is saying was true? Yeah. There's something noble in that. I want to search it out myself. Paul asked Timothy, or told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. So the wisdom of the wise men can be seen, and that they didn't let someone else do their searching. I want to be wise like that. Number four, they were not too proud to ask for guidance. Verse 2 of the text said, when they came to Jerusalem, they asked, where is he? That's to be born. Where is he? Can you put in your notes, wow, men asking for directions. So men, it's biblical to ask for directions. It's good for your marriage, too. These men showed their wisdom. I'm going to stop and ask directions. Where is he? Where is he? Their wisdom did not allow their pride to set in. They didn't say, you know, if I ask or I act like I need help or act like I don't know something, people around here might start thinking that I'm not so wise. Well, but we're wise men. So they stopped and asked. You see, the greater achievement of finding Jesus was on their mind. They were not too proud to stop and ask, where is he? Where is he? So you may say, you know, Brian, I don't understand the Bible. Or stop and ask for help. Ask for a Bible study. Open the Bible. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. The value of God's word, it's profitable. There's some value in that personal study of the book. We just need to open it. So, We want to ask, you know, help me, and there's help available. That's what the wise men did. Let's stop and ask. Where is he? Number five, they listened to the voice of God rather than the voice of men. It's in verse 12. Remember Herod the king asked them, said, when you go out and search for him, when you find him, you come tell me. But in verse 12 of the text, God had warned the wise men in a dream to do something else. Don't go back to Herod. Don't tell him where the baby is. And they obeyed God rather than man. The message or the lesson. God's given us a message. Unchangeable. Written in a book. The Bible. In our day, someone that we may hold in high regard, someone that's very noble in the religious world, may tell us something different than what the Bible says. Peter said in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, there's a higher authority. No matter what place we put that person in, or no matter how much we esteem them, if what they say is different than what the Word of God says, has, and the authority in the Word of God says that that authority is not going to be delegated to anybody else. So when we make our search to find the Jesus, we open the Word of God. You can certainly ask someone else for guidance or for help along the way, but the Word of God has the final say. In the way we worship, in the way we have our sins forgiven, the Word of God has the final say. There may be a religious leader that says something different than what the Bible says, but if we want to find the Jesus we're searching for, the Word of God has the last word, if you will. Number six, they were willing to pay the price for Jesus. Think about it. When these men, wise men, started out, they didn't know the length of the journey. They didn't know how much expense would be involved in the journey. They didn't know if they would encounter any barriers in the journey. They didn't know how long it would take to get from home to where Jesus was born. They didn't know how long they'd be away from home. They didn't know how much effort it would take. But in their wisdom, finding Jesus would be worth all the effort. And the lesson for us, you see, they were willing to seek and search. They were willing to pay the price to find Jesus. And in our searching for Jesus, we want to count the cost. I want to find Jesus. And it's going to be worth whatever I put out to find him. Because remember, when he was born to save his people from their sins. I want to find him. I don't always say everything correctly or do everything correctly. There's none righteous, no, not one, Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need salvation. Who can I turn to? Oh, Jesus. I'm going to put out the effort to find him. They were willing to pay the price. And then number seven, they didn't stop until they found him. See, most people start out with good intentions. You ask somebody, oh yeah, I want to find the Jesus. Count me in. You know, my hand goes up. I'm in. And they go a long way in their search, in their study, in their questions. They may attend the assembly. And then when they find the answers to their questions, they stop their search and refuse to go any farther. The wise men said, no, we're not stopping. I want to find him. It wasn't enough just to know, oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, that's okay. My questions are answered. I want to find him. I want to go to him. When Paul preaches to King Agrippa, Agrippa said in Acts 26, verse 28, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Oh, Agrippa, you've come so far. But you're almost, meaning you're not a Christian. Agrippa, you're not in, you're out. You're not saved. you're lost. He said, Paul, he said, almost. The wise men in their wisdom didn't want to stop at almost. I'm almost there. When Paul preaches to Felix in Acts chapter 24, Felix reached a conclusion. He says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. So he was convicted in the Bible, it says, of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. Oh, Felix, you've come so far. And he said, I'll stop right here. And Paul, when I have a convenient season, come and I'll call you. Paul preached to him for 2 more years. And he didn't answer the call. Among the saddest words in the Bible, when I have a convenient season, I'll call. The wisdom of the wise men, they didn't stop their search. And then number eight. Let me go back here. I don't want you to stop too soon in your search for Jesus. In your search, there's a progress or a recipe or steps to take in finding Jesus. You hear me say this at the close of a lesson. Number one, you'll need to hear the Word of God in your search. Because the Bible's telling us how to find Jesus. You know, Jesus commissioned his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, everyone needs to hear. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's a good question, Paul. That's right. So I need to hear. And then number two, I want to believe what I hear. I want to believe John 3:16, that God so loved the world he sent his son. I want to believe that good news, gospel message. Now, Jesus said himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to do that. I don't want to stop my search too soon. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe. Believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Don't stop your search too soon. Don't be satisfied with just hearing. I want you to believe the message. Then number three, in that steps, in that search, you'll want to repent, meaning turn your life around. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Well, I'm not going to stop at belief. Jesus also said to repent. Turn my life around. All right. I'm getting closer. Oh, but don't stop. Number four, you'll want to confess your faith. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached chapter 8. He preaches to him Jesus, and the Ethiopian interrupts his sermon. I've never had anybody interrupt a sermon. But the Ethiopian did that to Philip in Acts chapter 8. He said, here's water. What hinders or stops me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what Philip said next? Stop the chariot. It wasn't enough. This Ethiopian has heard. He believes the message. He's willing to turn his life around, and he made a confession. That's pretty good. Oh, but wait a minute. Stop. Philip said, stop the chariot. Immediately. And they both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. And they come up out of the water. The Bible says, Acts chapter 8. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Because salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Every time. My sins have been forgiven. Thank you. Puts a smile on my face. So the wise men, they didn't stop their search until they found the Christ. Then number eight in your notes, they showed their devotion by worshiping. Remember, that was the purpose of their search. That we may worship him. Some people finding Jesus don't stay on his side. They don't continue. They don't worship. Finding Jesus is not the end. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, there's more than just finding you, Jesus. Yeah. I want you to keep the things that I said. See, so when we're baptized, when we've completed that search, that process, we become a Christian. That's the commencement, not the graduation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let's hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Don't be two-faced back and forth. Let's consider, the verse continues, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Purpose of assembly. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is. Purpose of assembly is to, not just to provoke one another, but to provoke one another to love and good works. I don't want to stop too soon. Just say, listen, assemble to provoke. It's to provoke to love and good works. Value of assembly, to encourage one another, pick up those who have fallen, encourage those who are weak, support. The wise men showed their wisdom. When they found Jesus, they worshiped. They didn't stop. And then the last one, they proved their sincerity by giving to Jesus. They gave, people always say, they gave to Jesus the best they had. The gold, frankincense, and the myrrh, valuable commodities. I want to give Jesus the best. They were prepared to give Jesus more than just the expense of the journey. They came prepared to give to Jesus when they found him. So in our search for Jesus, and when we find Jesus, and we obey him, the good news, the gospel message, we're baptized. Now we want to continue finding Jesus or staying on his side by worship and giving. Give our effort. Yeah. Our time. Yeah. Our treasure. Yeah. Our talent. Yeah. Because he gave all that he had, I want to give all that I have. He deserves the best that I can give. That I can give. That's the lesson this morning. That's the lesson. It's not just a holiday Christmas message. I could preach this sermon in July. The wisdom of the wise men. I put it at the bottom. How wise are you? How wise are you? If you haven't answered that gospel call, Paul's going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody. Don't leave anybody out. He that believes it shall be saved. That settles it. Jesus, or God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. That's the Bible message. It changes. It stays the same, whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, you want to obey it and be baptized. We're going to sing a song of encouragement at the close of a lesson, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Gives you time to reflect on the message or your relationship. And if there's a response that you want to make this morning, you can accomplish that. You just need to come and have a seat on the front here at the close of the song and just let your request be known. Brian, I want prayers for strength. Brian, I want to, like for this. Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. All things are ready. Let's stand together and then we'll make a hymn number 940, Only a Step, I think is the title of it. So let's, if that's your resolve, if that's your desire.